Command, may my Ushatama completely cleansed, my unto me, Tertikrita, having resigned Ashesha, all Kriya of actions, Arta, the fruits, Ma, to me, Prapatsyase, you will attain. Translation. With your heart cleansed by properly carrying out my command, resigning to me the fruits of all your acts, you will finally attain to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the words Tirti Krita Shesha Kriyarta are significant. Tirtha means a sanctified place where charity is given. People used to go to places of pilgrimage and give munificently in charity. This system is still current. Therefore the Lord said, in order to sanctify your activities and the results of your actions, you will offer everything unto me. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, the result should be given to me only. In another place in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices, all penances, and everything done for the welfare of mankind or society. All activities, therefore, whether for the welfare of family, society, country, or humanity at large, must be performed in Krishna consciousness. That is the instruction given by the Lord to Kardama Muni. Maharaj Yudhisthira welcomed Narada Muni. Maharaj Yudhisthira welcomed Narada Muni. Wherever you are present, that place becomes sanctified because the Lord Himself is always seated in your heart. Similarly, if we act in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Lord and His representative, then everything is sanctified. This is the indication given to Kardama Muni, who acted on it and therefore received the most excellent wife and child, as will be disclosed in later verses. Tvam cha samyag anushtaya nideshyam ma ushatama mayi terti krita shesha kriyanto mam prapatsyase. With your heart cleansed by properly carrying out my command, resigning to me the fruits of all your acts, you will finally attain to me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastitya Adesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajgav Charubhyas Jagripa, Sindhubhya Evacha, Padidhanu Bhavadevyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So, continuing with the narration about, well, leading up to the marriage of Kardama and Devahuti. So, here, specifically, of course, we've been going through the background regularly, and the background is very interesting in different ways. But anyway, this verse specifically is addressing, you could say, the creation of auspiciousness. The creation of auspiciousness in our lives, and ultimately in the sense that if we live in very auspicious ways, acting very auspiciously and carrying out all our different duties very nicely in Krishna consciousness, then the results, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the results will be very wonderful. This is what the Lord is basically telling Kardama Muni here. Kardama Muni, of course, as we've already discussed at some length, he had been practicing yoga for 10,000 years. As a result, undoubtedly, he had made great advancement. Yoga, some mixture. Yoga with some Krishna consciousness. So it definitely made great advancement, but still there was a sort of residual, leftover desire, material desire, from before. And that was that he felt convinced that despite his long practice, 10,000 years of yoga, still he felt that he needed to go through the experience of household life, including becoming a parent. He felt that was required in order for him to sort of complete the circle, you could say, or just complete the whole program before finally he could directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or go back to Godhead, actually, and perfect his life. So the Lord here is explaining the essence of how to do that in that situation of household life. And of course it's very relevant. Prabhupada first of all explores the idea of auspiciousness in terms of visiting sacred places, giving charity, and sanctifying your activities in those types of ways. So Prabhupada elaborates a little bit on some of the words from the purport. Tirtha means a sanctified place, and in those sanctified places a practice is that one, at least a householder particularly, not only householders but particularly householders, should give charity, and this will sanctify everything. Visiting a sacred place already is sanctifying, but if one gives charity in the sacred place, then it is very deeply sanctifying, and it's highly beneficial. Particularly, of course, for householders, but for everyone, because everyone has their attachments to their material facilities and possessions and things, and these types of attachments in terms of, as the Lord says, finally attaining to me. All these different attachments we have, they are and will remain obstacles to finally attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I was a new devotee, of course I'm still a new devotee, as we've said on a few occasions, less than 50 years, new devotee. But when I was an even newer new devotee, the devotees, it was a whole thing. There was a whole practice. So many devotees were full of Prabhupada says different things, which at least they said that Prabhupada said. Let's hope. But anyway, we heard a lot of Prabhupada said. And one Prabhupada said, which I remember clearly, was that it was said that Prabhupada said that when one devotee said to Prabhupada, well, they were in Hawaii, apparently, and that's a very pleasant natural place by Kali Yuga planet Earth standards compared to the heavenly planets, what to speak of Goloka Vrindavan. I'm sure it's like a rubbish dump, but anyway, you know, it's very nice vegetation and beaches and the sea and all that. And one evening there was a nice sunset, and a devotee commented to Sri Sri Radha Ratna Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. One devotee commented to Srila Prabhupada that, so there's this very nice sunset, very sort of classic, colorful sunset, and the devotee commented to Srila Prabhupada that it's a very nice sunset. And Srila Prabhupada, according to the story, said, however much you appreciate and enjoy that sunset, to that degree, you'll have to stay in the material world. Anyway, that's what they said, Prabhupada said. Another thing that Prabhupada said was, if you get a very nice rose, I don't know about this, but it's sort of slightly aged. But anyway, if you get like a really nice, fresh rose, which is fragrant, which of course is rare, these days, then Prabhupada said, this is like Krishna's smile. Anyway. But back to the sacred places and giving charity and in that way becoming purified. Well, another Prabhupada said, I can tell you, which as far as I'm aware is quite authentic. Many years ago when we were living in England, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, one devotee came from somewhere in South America. And it's a bit of a long story, but the essence in this regard is that he had just become married to a devotee, lady, and Prabhupada had been, if not specifically at the wedding, but at least he was around. And so just a few days later, this devotee, who was one of the, by those standards, very senior devotees, he went on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and he wanted to ask Prabhupada a profound question, to get some profound instructions about household life and how to be a householder in Krishna consciousness. So in the course of the morning walk, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a grihastha? And Srila Prabhupada gave, in a sort of rather abrupt way, he gave just a very short answer and walked on. Prabhupada stopped and said, give charity, don't be miserly, and walked on. In that sort of mood, like, so this devotee was taken aback a little. And he thought, well, you know, maybe Prabhupada's got something else on his mind. You know, I would like to get some more, at least a little more elaborate instructions, certain elements in the picture of household life. So then, a few weeks later, Prabhupada was still in South America, and this devotee traveled to wherever Prabhupada was at that particular time. and went on the morning walk. And so he thought again, now is my opportunity. So, on the morning walk, Prabhupada stopped. He asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of a grihastha? Word for word, the same question. And Prabhupada looked at him and in the same mood said, give charity, don't be miserly, and walked on. So, he told us, this had just happened a few weeks before he came to England, and he told us that he got the message. So anyway, Prabhupada's talking about it here, and Prabhupada says that this system is still current. People do go to places of pilgrimage. So many people go to places of pilgrimage, and many of them do give charity. They don't give much. You know, you get these people on the side of the road, they will change your notes for coins. For like 10%. Give them 1 rupee, they'll give you 90 paisa. In this way they make a living. So this goes on, that you see these people going on parikrama somewhere around Govardhan Hill, very typically, and various, many other places. And there's some beggar sitting at the side of the road, and the person, practically without even turning to look at him, just tosses a coin in his direction. Yeah. Because this is just, it's like a very standard, authentic type of pious activity for which you get punya. You get pious reactions. Even to the point that sometimes you find that, I mean, not often, but it has happened, someone wants to give you charity and they insist. And even though you may say, no, it's okay, don't worry, but they insist because they're looking for the punya. Because they know in the future, for example, I may get 10 times back. So take it, take it. Effectively what they're saying is, I want my 10 times back. So, but like this, people sanctify their existence, purify their existence, make some spiritual progress, and this is all beneficial. Of course, nowadays, when you go to these places, you get, well, anyway, let's just leave it at that. Those of you who've been there, you know what, how it works. But yes, so Srila Prabhupada's making a point in the purport, just elaborating in different ways on this point, that whatever we do should be done as a sacrifice for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada quotes two verses. He quotes it's what, 9:27, Yat Kuroshi Yadashnasi Yat Jehoshi Devasi Yat Yat Tapasyasi Kunteya Tat Kurushva Mad Arpanam. Chapter 9, verse 27. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, including whatever you give away in charity, the result should be given to me only. This is a very famous verse and a very definitive verse. that all devotees and anyone who wants to progress in Krishna consciousness, we should dedicate everything to Krishna and to Krishna only, not to someone else. Then Srila Prabhupada quotes, what is it, chapter 5, the peace formula. What's that, 526? No. 529. Excuse me. 529. Sarvaloka Maheshwaran, Suridam Sarvabhutana, Gyanama Mushanti Richati, that anyone who understands me to be the enjoyer, Bhokta, the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, such a person attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Right. As Prabhupada said, this is the peace formula for this extremely and increasingly disturbed material world. So we must remember, and if one lives like this, if one practices Krishna consciousness like this and focuses exclusively on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then first of all spiritual progress will be made. And in due course, as the Lord tells Kardama Muni, finally, at the end of this life, we will attain to the Lord. So whatever the external circumstances are, whatever one's situation in life is, one should always keep this in the forefront. Just like right now, we all know, I imagine, that there's this whole situation, health crisis, chaos, super chaos, pandemic, and there can be the tendency, if we're reaching Krishna consciousness, there can be the tendency for people in general to think, why are you trying to preach Krishna consciousness now? We've got to solve the coronavirus situation. This is the important thing. And even we might, there may be a tendency amongst devotees, because the circumstances have changed, and to some degree we're definitely affected, there may be some tendency at least to lose a little bit of focus, that exclusive focus on Krishna consciousness, and get caught up in the circumstances. Just like when Srila Prabhupada, before Prabhupada really started the Krishna consciousness movement, well, when Srila Prabhupada first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it's there quite elaborately, quite at length in the Prabhupada Leelamrita, how he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada says that at that time he was a follower of Gandhi. That's what he says. Of course, at heart, he was just a very great devotee and had been since childhood. But In another sense, Prabhupada says, I was a follower of Gandhi, so he would wear khadi, and for example, as a protest, even though he what passed his degree, as I recall, at university, he didn't go to accept the diploma, the proof that he actually had a degree. He boycotted the event as some other of the students did. So then, after a little while, he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and they had a discussion, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta famously instructed Prabhupada. The very first thing he said is that you're an educated young man, and his friend, Prabhupada's friend also, you're educated young men. You should spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language, which at the time was not common in India at all, only in just certain very select circles. So Srila Prabhupada tried to counter that, who will hear the message of your Chaitanya? Because India is a captive nation, which was the general line amongst so many people, even religiously minded, even the actual sadhus themselves. First of all, Swaraj. First of all, political freedom. And then we will preach Sanatan Dharma and give emphasis to these things and really promote these things. But for the time being, Swaraj is the priority. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told him that Krishna consciousness is so important, so exclusively important, it cannot wait for independence. So we also should know that Krishna consciousness is so exclusively important, it cannot wait for the vaccine or just the disappearance of the coronavirus. Hare Krishna. Yes. Everything must be yat karoshi yad ashnasi yaj jahoshi dadati yat, including dadati, the giving of things in charity. It must all be dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead exclusively. It's so essential. So essential. Because if one does like that, then the whole of humanity, you are benefited, people around you are benefited, humanity at large is benefited, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is happy, and you will come to Him. So then Srila Prabhupada changes the focus a little. To some degree, he changes the focus in the purport here, that if we practice Krishna consciousness, well, there is another verse. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Maharaj Yudhisthira glorifying Narada Muni. Tirti kurvanti tirtani swantastena gadabrita. He says that you are so sacred, you sanctify the places of pilgrimage. So therefore, Prabhupada says that if we If we do like this, if we act in Krishna consciousness in all respects with that exclusive focus, then everything will become sanctified. Even places which previously were not sacred places will become sacred places. Just like when Srila Prabhupada basically started the Sankirtan movement, Tompkins Square Park in New York, the tree is still there. The tree is still there. With some sign about what Srila Prabhupada did. And it's a sacred place. And so many places which Prabhupada visited, they're sacred places. And they're maintained as such. And if one visits them, one can also feel the sanctity, at least feel some of the sanctity, because Srila Prabhupada visited. So of course, the idea is here of visiting the Tirthas and giving charity. As a result, at least in India, everybody knows that. That is so well known. Therefore, when you go to the sacred places, you find so many people who are there who are expecting to receive charity. And not only expecting, but they will encourage. And in some cases, not just encourage, but demand and harass and even physically attack in order to get some charity. Of course, it's always a good idea. Anyway, it's nice to give some charity. But in this way, because people who are not really sacred, because people who are not really spiritually advanced, congregate in the sacred places, also not just those who are demanding or trying to get charity, but just the people in general who are going and who have the idea that we are visiting this place to get some material benefit. Just like one devotee, his name is Vasudev, a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4 or so, he made a video of Govardhan Parikrama. And it's nice. But in it, he interviewed some of the local people who were doing Parikrama. Not like, you know, ISKCON devotees who are exposed to so much Shastra and the wisdom of Srila Prabhupada, but just people, Hindu people who, you know, in their way they're very pleasant, but they're not well informed. And I remember watching it and seeing some of these people, he would ask them, why are you doing Govardhan Parikrama? And there were these 3 village ladies, or 3 or 4 or so. Village ladies, they're just very typical village ladies. Like UP village ladies, who, would you believe, keep the sari over their head. Anyway, that's just a cultural point, by the way. Very typical. And he asked them in Hindi what they're doing, why they're doing it. And they smiled and laughed and said, as we're doing it, we are praying that our husbands will make lots of money. Yes, that's what they said, words to that effect. And he interviewed a number of others, people of different sorts, but locals. And at least in principle, Those were the answers the types of answers he got. You know, like, it's the, what do you call it? Well, the appearance of Radhakund that day. What's the day? Huh? Bahulastami. Yeah, the Bahulastami. So many people come to bathe. And it is promoted widely, very widely, that if husband and wife, they are married, but they have not been able to have a child, then on Bahulastami, you must bathe in Radhakund. Yeah. And there are various other places also where, you know, the people will tell you or your group that, you know, if any of you ladies or householders, you know, no children are there, you must take bath here. Yes, so like this, the tendency is, in one way or another, that the holy places become corrupted. They actually become degraded because of the atmosphere which is left by people who on a certain level have some piety, but their consciousness is very much materially infiltrated. Very much materially infiltrated. And they're very much looking on whatever religious activities are going on in terms of what material benefit I may get. And specific benefits at specific places, at specific times. And even you find some people, they travel around to be at the specific places, at the specific times, to get the punya. So on a certain level, it's nice. You know, you could argue that it's a lot better than just being a gross materialist and exploiting the material nature. But certainly it's far short of what Srila Prabhupada, what the Lord is saying here to Kardama, and what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport. The point is sanctification, transcendental purification, coming closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and getting His mercy more and more. And then in due course, as the Lord says, you will finally attain to me. Not that you will finally attain to great wealth and many children and all whatever these types of things. But finally we can attain to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as Maharaj Yudhisthira tells Narada Muni, that wherever you go, the place becomes sanctified, and even you go to sacred places, you sanctify them just by your presence alone, but particularly, of course, because when you're there in the sacred place, you engage in sanctified activity, chanting the holy names of the Lord, glorifying the Lord, discussing the Lord with other devotees, like this. You sanctify even the places of pilgrimage. You know, of course you all know, or at least so many of you know, the now famous story about, what's it called? what's the day? The famous day? Tritiya. Akshaya Tritiya. Akshaya Tritiya. You know, Akshaya Tritiya, which is coming up, it won't be, it's not too far off in the future. On Akshaya Tritiya, because it's famous for being such a powerfully beneficial day, it has some built-in potency to it. So on Akshaya Tritiya, well, particularly actually in the sense of beginning things, getting off to a good start. So therefore on Akshaya Tritiya, many marriages take place. So far more than any other day in the year. On Akshaya Tritiya, many businesses are registered. Many. I was told more than all the other days of the year put together. I don't know if that's accurate, but more than any other day, because it is said to have that potency. Of course, we tell that story from Nandagram. Anyway, you know the story. It's getting a bit late now. Should I tell the story? All right, why not? Krishna came into the kitchen at Nandagram, and there was Mother Yashoda frying all sorts of snacky prasads, or bhoga, frying all these snacky foodstuffs, samosas, kachoris, pakoras, and, you know, even non-fried like dokra, paturi, and so on. Pakori. Did you have a pakori before? Oh, pakori is interesting. Yeah, all these different types of things and various others. And Krishna, because Mother Yashoda, she never does anything other than things for Krishna. So Krishna asked her, Mata, is this for me? Is this for me? And to his surprise, Mother Yashoda said, no, it is for your father, Nanda Maharaj. He is going on a long journey, and this is his prasadam for the road. And in came Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna asked him, where are you going, Pita? Where are you going? And Nanda Maharaj said, I am going. Well, it is Akshaya Tritiya, and today I am going to Prayag. And Krishna said, Pita, why are you going to Prayag, Pita? Why are you going? And Nanda Maharaj said, because all year I'm engaged in material activity, just working to provide for my family. So I've accumulated all this karma. So on this one day in the year, Akshaya Tritiya, I am going to Prayag to bathe in the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati and get free from all the karma and return refreshed. And Krishna said, oh, I see. And Nanda Maharaj said, well, look, I'm going to go now, but come with me, and we will go down to Pavan Sarova and take bath, and then I'll go from Pavan Sarova. So they walked down. They were walking down. Nanda Maharaj is holding Krishna's hand. In the other hand is his prasadam for the road. And Krishna pulled on Nanda Maharaj's hand. "Peter, Peter, give me one samosa, Peter. Just one." And Nanda Maharaj said, "I cannot give you even one samosa, because I'm going on a long journey to Prayag. I need all the prasada I can get. Otherwise, I may have to buy Simba chips on the way. But I want prasad." Okay. So anyway, they arrived down at Pavan Sarova. They're just about to go in when they saw on the other side one big man dressed very opulently. And the man was roaring with laughter and rolling in the dust. And then he dived in Pavan Sarova and came out and rolled in the dust again and roared with laughter. And Krishna said, "Peter, who that man, Peter? Who's that man? Who's that man?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "Well, I don't know. I didn't see him before. Let's go and speak to him." So they went. And Nanda Maharaj asked, "My dear sir, please tell us, what is your good name?" And the man said, "My name is Prayag Raj." And Nanda Maharaj said, "Really? That's an unusual name. Where'd you get a name like that?" And Prayagraj said, "I am the personality of that sacred place where the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati meet." And Nanda Maharaj said, "Well, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? Why are you bathing in Pavan Sarova?" And Prayagraj said, "All year the pilgrims come and bathe in my waters and leave all their karma on me. So one day in the year, on Akshaya Tritiya, I come to Vrindavan and I come to Pavan Sarova and I bathe in Pavan Sarova and get free from all the karma left on me by all the pilgrims. And then I go back feeling refreshed." And Nanda Maharaj said, "Oh, I see." Then Prayag Raj pointed out, "Look, all around, look around, Pavan Sarova." And Nanda Maharaj looked around, and there's all these people. They're like demigods. Men and women, so many of them, bathing in Pavan Sarova. And Prayag said, "These are all the personalities of all the sacred places." Yes. There, there, there. There is Bhadrik Ashram. There is the river Kaveri. And there are all these other places. And he said, "We all come here on Akshaya Tritiya, and we all bathe in Pavan Sarova to get free from all the karma left on us by all the pilgrims." And Nanda Maharaj was speechless. Then he took Krishna by the hand and said, "Let's go." And Krishna said, "Peter! You're going to Prayag now, Peter. You're going now. You're leaving." Nanda Maharaj said, "No." "Where are you going, Peter? Where are you going?" "I'm going to bathe in Pavan Sarova, and then I'm going home." And Krishna said, "Peter, why are you not going Prayag, Peter? Why are you not going?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "I changed my mind." So they bathed in Pavan Sarova. Now they're going back up the hill Nandamaraj is holding Krishna's hand. Other hand is the prasad for the road. Krishna pulls on his hat. Pita, Pita, give me one samosa, Pita, one samosa, just one, only one, just one. And Nandamaraj looks at the bag, shakes his head, and just gives the whole thing to Krishna. You can have it. I don't need it now. So you see, yeah. Anyway, that's sort of self-explanatory. But the idea is that Vrindavan is the topmost sacred place. It purifies the other sacred places. Krishna is the topmost deity. Krishna consciousness is the topmost process. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita are the topmost literatures, and so on like that. Yeah. And the devotees are the topmost people. Yeah. It's very amazing, actually. It's very amazing. So therefore, all activities, whether for the welfare of family, society, country, or humanity at large, must be performed in Krishna consciousness. And if Kardama Muni does like this, with his heart cleansed, by doing all these things properly, and surrendering everything to the Lord, then, as Prabhupada says, this is the indication given to Kardama Muni, who acted on it, and therefore received the most excellent wife and child, as will be disclosed in later verses, and then went back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay. That's all. That's all. Time's up. Hare Krishna.